Welcome to Fear the Boot, episode 50. Though we've gotten out of the habit, we want to do something different every 10 episodes. Since episode 50 is almost Fear the Boot's one-year anniversary, we decided to do a look back at the previous year of this podcast. We promise this episode will not be a flashback episode, and also that we play no clips from previous shows or rehash old topics. Instead, we talk about what it's like making the show, some of the things that go on off the mics, and how making Fear the Boot has changed us as people. I realize some people are interested only in our gaming conversations and not the show itself. If you're such a person, this show probably isn't for you, but rest assured we'll be back to our normal topics next episode. For everyone else, sit back and enjoy what I believe will be an insightful and entertaining look at the making of the show. It's Wednesday, May 2nd, 2007, and you're listening to episode 50 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 1 hour and 18 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan, and gathered around with me is Chad.
Howdy.
Adam.
Hey.
And Mike.
Hello.
All right, this is going to be a little bit of an unusual episode because, of course, here we are on number 50.
Happy 50, Fear the Boot.
And this isn't all exactly the one-year anniversary, which I guess would be episode 52 or 53.
But 52 is kind of lame.
And we're already at 64 some odd episodes.
Well, yeah, but if you look at in the interviews and the bonus episodes and everything else, I mean, we're way over, you know, 60 podcasts, probably closer to 70 podcasts now.
And not that many podcasts come to 50 episodes.
So, what do we got planned for this episode? Well,
a lot of complaining, a lot of whining, some cussing on my part, maybe some Bud Light half an hour ago.
Which would make this one special.
So, yeah. But to make it special, what we're gonna have, we're now at an even 10 episode near the one-year anniversary. We are going to do Fear the Boot, a year in review. And I don't mean we're going to play a highlight reel. I mean, we are going to comment on our own podcast, kind of talk through the things we have been through.
The mistakes we made, very few.
Right.
And the successes we've done, very many.
Which will carry us for most of the hour. All the money we've made and bitches we've had and places we've been.
I've been divorced for 6 months.
will be by the time this gets out.
All the third world countries that have picked us as their national podcast.
You know, the Fear the Boot opening is now the national anthem.
And now, please rise for our national anthem.
Man, I was just at a ribbon cutting in Dubai for the Fear the Boot Cultural Center.
That'd be a glorious day.
All right, let's go back a little bit kind of to how the podcast got started. For those of you that don't know the story, none of us actually ever once before recording the first episode of Fear the Boot had ever heard a single episode of a podcast ever.
Yeah, none of us were podcast listeners.
And when we got started, actually how we got started was Mike's dad owns his own company. And he read something in some trade journal about how podcasting was going to be.
We can tell you what the company is and does, but this is a PG-rated show.
Yeah.
Yeah, our version of it would be not very PG.
So,
and it's not very interesting.
He called me up, Mike's dad that is, and asked me, because he knew I had a background in technical stuff, to help him get a podcast started. And I told him, you know, I don't know a thing about podcasting, but I'm tech savvy and computer literate and all that crap. So,
and you can read.
And I can read. So I went out and picked up some books and learned a little bit about it, got him started. And as I was sitting there helping him make a business podcast, which, believe me, unless you're a really big businessman, is not real exciting, I realized how much fun this was. And so I sent out an email to Chad and Mike and Tim and Kevin saying, hey, guys, do you want to get involved in a podcast?
And then when I got this email, it was like so long. And I swear to God, the man opens the email talking about making Shadowrun characters. I skimmed that little part, said, oh, I got to go. I'll read this later. And of course, since it was marked as read, never looked at it again.
Off to the ether it goes.
My thinking at the time was I read this email and he's talking about creating a recording of a bunch of guys sitting around talking about gaming.
Did I hear that you said this was going to be a big waste of time?
No, that's not what I said.
No, he said thought out idea.
No, that's not
never be successful was maybe another
thing. What I was thinking at the time was, Who is going to give a crap about a bunch of guys sitting around talking about role-playing? There's a billion people out there who could sit around and talk about role-playing on the internet.
Oh, they do.
I know. Which is exactly where I was thinking at the time. It's like, why would we do this? Why would we put energy, time, and money into this? Who's going to care? Okay, I was wrong.
I still ask those questions, really, but I still show up every weekend.
But when I saw that email for the first time, those were my thoughts. And so I told Dan, I'm going to decline.
Well, Libsyn says either you're wrong or it's a gentle liar. One of the two.
A gentle liar.
Because it keeps saying that people are listening to the show.
Oh. Oh.
So either it says you're wrong or it's a very gentle liar.
Oh,
right. Okay. All right. So, Kevin.
So, never have jokes on the podcast that you can't cut out like that fall flat when none of the other hosts get it. Anyway, moving on.
That's right. We wouldn't want to embarrass you guys. So, Kevin and Tim were with us, I think, only they both did, I think, two episodes each before they backed out just because they felt the podcast was taking up too much time. They had too
much. Be successful.
They had too much other stuff to do.
And with Kevin, it forced him to talk, and that's just not something that Kevin, God love him, does.
He talks, just not very much.
Yeah.
Tim was headed to prison over something.
Boy, talk about getting
prison,
born.
You mean Illinois. You
talk about getting passed around.
So,
God, I hope he doesn't listen.
It was Chad and I were recording episode 2, and
let's explain why. Because I did not read your email because I saw Shadowrun vomited.
Except Shadowrun wasn't in there. He just saw too many words. And some of them had letters like S H A D O W, perhaps an R U N N. And so it's like one of those, what do they call those little drawings where you're like,
Rorschach?
No. You like blur your eyes. You see something 3D come out of it.
The magic eyes
or whatever, which I think is purely power suggestion. But with the magic, yeah, I do. But with the it's like a magic eye thing. Chad looked at the email, saw so many words, his eyes just fuzzed out. Shadowrun in 3D came out of the screen at him.
Spit on him.
He blacked out for about 20 minutes, and when he came to, he was making a cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
In fact, I remember that. I have fond memories of that.
But yeah, where this comes up then is, so I get together with Chad, and we're over at Guitar Center, and I'm buying this inordinate amount of recording equipment. I'm making Chad be my pack mule, he'll carry it all. And Chad's like, so why are you buying all this stuff?
For the podcast? What podcast? Let's go to dinner, because that was our original plan.
Yeah,
and then he laid this whole thing out to me about the podcast, and Tim had this idea about talking, and, Tim likes to talk. So we have this whole podcast thing up.
So after that, then, I guess by about episode 2, Chad and I were sitting down to record, and Tim and Kevin were not there for that episode. They were still on the show. They didn't drop off until, I think, I don't know, Tim's last episode, or the last one was like 3 or 5 or something like that. But Chad and I were trying to record, just couldn't get it.
It was very, very dull, very boring. It was like we were reading off of a script almost. It was just, there was no pep, energy, no. It was like a lecture. It was like going to college and listening to a dry lecture. And
so we had talked about seeing if Adam wants to get involved in this.
Adam would never want to get involved in this because he's too cool.
Well, no, actually, the story about that was the week before when you guys had recorded episode 1, there was a party at my place. Immediately after you guys recorded, you guys came over and Chad's like, oh, you'll never guess what we did today. I'm like, dude, I don't care. And you're like, dude, we record a podcast on role playing. And I'm like, oh, that's a cool concept, but I'm never going to listen to this show.
And you probably never have.
No, he has.
I've listened to every single episode except for last week's.
Our entire library. So we ended up calling up, I guess it was Adam who was with John at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's
with John?
Yeah,
in the biblical sense. And so
we're brothers of Bud Light, bound by a bond you could never shake.
And so they came over, joined us for episode 2, and that's how they got involved in the show. Yeah.
They were drunk, by the way. They were drinking all night. We didn't know it, and we just brought them back, and they're like, there you go.
And that set the precedent. Adam's been drunk for every show since.
Pretty much.
And then I guess after Tim and Kevin stepped out, we just brought John and Adam on full time. I tell you, those first 5 or 6 episodes were very hard to make for
many
all
reasons.
18 minutes of one.
You know. Well, yeah, the first one was like 15 minutes. The stupid podcast book that I had said that the ideal length for a podcast should be no less than 10 and absolutely never any more than 20 minutes long.
20 minutes is too long.
And this is why you listen to your fans.
Yeah, this is why you listen to your fans and don't listen to these stupid books, because the one time we asked people how long they wanted the show to be, it was nearly unanimous. Yeah. 1 hour.
One hour weekly show. That's what people want.
And we have never taken polls on anything and gotten a response that unified. I mean, it was like,
if you're reading a generic podcasting book, maybe 15 to 18 minutes would be ideal for an interview like my dad's business would do. But if you're doing like a sci-fi...
I listen to podcasts for business, though, and I'd rather have an hour long.
Yeah.
It's just a nice round number.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. But
I don't know. I mean, maybe, but it's like most podcasts have such a...
Well, there's like a word of the day podcast. Kind of boring, in my opinion, but definitely like, don't want an hour on that. Yeah, he's like... Reads the word, reads the definition, like, reads the word
today's
again,
word is hardvark, and then he defines hardvark, and then he uses hardvark.
Real loud.
Then he uses hardvark in a sentence, and then he uses hardvark in a fantasy, and then he wraps up the podcast. Oh,
great show. Speaking of, you can download that at hardvark.com.
But it wasn't just the length of the show, but just in general, there are some things in life, and by some things, I mean basically everything, that you can learn as much as possible, but there are just things you don't get until you sit down and do it.
Right.
And there are some things you just do not realize, where the whole thing fades from a science into an art, that you just cannot get until you have sat down and done it. And Chad talked about with that second episode, and this was pretty true of all of early episodes, that we swung, and I realize even today our episodes are going to have a different character from one to the next. I'm sure some people are going to bitch about this one because we're talking about the podcast and not about role-playing games. Mm-hmm. But within those first few episodes, I mean, we just swung wildly from too scripted to so chaotic that it...
Right.
To doing reviews.
In one episode, we were all talking at the same time and yelling at each other. And then the next episode, it was like those two little crows. Like
Heckle and Jekyll?
No, not Heckle. The two that are like super polite to each other all the time.
What are you talking about?
Somebody's going to know what I'm talking
about. Old man references mean nothing to me.
It's an old cartoon from the Looney Tunes era. I don't know if it was Looney Tunes, but these two birds, I was like, why, pardon me, would you like to do this? Why, thank you, I would love to.
And yeah, that was one thing that we learned early on, and this is going to sound really strange, is that you can't be too polite. You know, it's a round table discussion and everybody has ideas. And if everybody's too polite, it's going to be what one of our forum users called a danixure, where Dan just sits there. And so we don't have open air, just starts talking and talking and talking.
You know, when you told me about the podcast originally, I was like, oh my God, Dan and Chad talking for an hour. Oh, I could not deal.
What?
It made him feel insecure. Listening to us talk for an hour is like looking at Ron Jeremy. It made him uncomfortable.
Revolting and makes me vomit. You know, I get there's so much hair. I agree.
Another reason we can't be too polite is obviously we are not the only podcast on role-playing games. We are not the first. And I don't know all the detailed numbers of the other podcasts. It's my understanding that while we are one of the biggest, I don't think we are the biggest. But
Chuck and Lonnie, you're next. We're coming for
you. After you sort our mail.
Yes. What the hell's my Chinese food,
I can't take Chuck and Lonnie down. They're so busy answering my voicemail and handling my email. I got dry cleaning. My lawn hasn't been mowed since I don't know when. I've got weeds in the driveway. I've got to have somebody put down herbicide. And come on, I'm not going to do this. So
much love, DLI.
We're going to leave DLI standing for a little while.
Right.
Until we can hire some good help from south of the border, and then they'll outlive their usefulness. But, I mean, obviously, when we sit on these mics, we are not the only gaming podcast in the world. We are not the first.
Certainly not the best.
But, you know, and well, we're certainly not the best informed.
If you
want to know the ins and outs of all like the theories of role playing and all the different structures for rules and who's who in the industry and the history of things, you have come to the wrong place.
Yeah.
But
Personally, I don't
we
know.
We are carried on I one don't thing. Care. We are carried on one thing, and we have heard this again and again and again in the feedback we've gotten.
Bedroom voice.
My sexy voice.
Because Francis is the voice of the listeners.
Yes.
He has his hand on the pulse of the listeners. What his other hand is on, we cannot say in this podcast.
KFRN, the voice of the listeners. It's the personality. It's the personality that we carry when we are on the show. The way we interact with each other, assuming we're not having a down week, the kind of energy that we normally convey.
Yeah.
And if we are super polite, it completely destroys right. that kind of interaction that we have with each other.
I think that another thing that destroys our interaction is when we start taking ourselves too seriously.
Oh, God, I hate doing that.
Adam's the big, you know, he always bangs the drum of saying we are taking ourselves far too seriously. You know, we start drilling down on topics too much. We start lining things out too much. We start saying, well, we're Fear the Boot and we have to have these standards. And it's just like, no, Fear the Boot is a handful of friends sitting around having a conversation that we have normally all the time. We just turn the mics on and record it and send it out to people.
And censor ourselves.
And censor ourselves heavily.
Yeah, most of us have known each other for over a decade, more like 15 years or something.
Well, this podcast was not something we engineered.
Right.
That yeah, we had to set some boundaries and we had to learn some things.
Set a rating.
And we have to structure it because you can't have, I mean, in personal conversations, you have that every 7 minutes, there's dead silence. You can't have that in a podcast. But for the most part, what we have on these podcasts, the same conversations that we've been having person to person for years.
15 years.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing we really do is put some structure to it and take out the F word.
But a lot of F words.
I mean, otherwise, this is really pretty similar to the kinds of conversations we have always had.
I think people are going to be shocked at Gen Con.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Dropping that F bomb every other word.
We don't edit the show.
Tourette's like outbursts.
But we do have to edit out a lot of F words.
So we were talking about how early we had a little trouble getting people involved in the podcast before we struck that balance. It was kind of interesting, though, because we hit the reverse extreme once it worked.
Right.
By the time we were about 10 episodes in, and suddenly
everybody wanted to be on the show.
Everybody wanted a piece of that pie. Cause we suddenly had listeners. The show was going well. We had proven it wasn't just a crazy idea.
Yeah.
We had proven, unlike a lot of other crazy ideas, we were actually sticking with this one and doing it for real.
Nah, it'll never go anywhere.
And suddenly, like Chad said, everybody wanted to be involved. And we had every friend or cohort or associate in our life wanted to sit behind the mics.
Right. Because it was novel and it was different and it was interesting. And we always talk about how much fun we have making this, and they wanted to be a part of that too. And it's totally understandable. The thing is that I'm sorry, you just can't have a podcast, or at least a good one, with 10 people talking at once.
My standard stock answer became, it takes an act of God in Congress to get behind these mics.
There was a story, like, when we hit that point where a whole bunch of people wanted to come to us, somebody nicknamed Dan on the forums one time the Elder Statesman. Dan is very diplomatic. Dan doesn't like to offend. He likes, you know, stopping fights before they start and, you know, stopping drama and that sort of thing. And that's very cool personality trait about him. Adam, John, and I are not quite like that. We're very
asses.
Yeah, we're asses. And we really don't care how people feel about us. And we kind of got together separately of Dan, and we're like, you know what? All these people are coming to Dan, and Dan isn't saying no. It's not in his personality to say, I reject what you want. So get the hell out of my house before I call the police. So we agreed that we are going to have to be a wall between Dan's niceness and the rest of the world.
Oh, but let's be honest. Dan's thinking it.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, Dan may be thinking it. However, I still know a certain person who is dying to get on these mics for a year now.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right.
All right. Well, then.
When you get behind these mics, I talked about how there are a couple things you have to learn as an art rather than a science. And one of them is regulating opinion. Because if you have no opinion...
What you say?
If you have no opinion, if all you do is gush love, quite frankly, it's disingenuous, number one. And secondly,
true.
I think it's boring.
True.
Yep.
But third, on the flip side, rather, if you just open your mouth and just gush out all the vitriol that is in your mind...
You have Fear the Boot.
I mean, you'll
once in a while we have something nice. Well, yes, so it's just not the norm.
You'll alienate.
We do that
people.
Just to shake things up.
If yeah. I got on here and I really, I mean, and this is true of any human being alive. If any human being alive got behind a mic and just cut loose with all of their opinions, you would alienate just about everyone with an earshot. And the same thing is true here, that I can get on here and I can say I don't like riffs. And I'm not going to lie to you about the fact that I don't like riffs. But you know what? There is somebody listening to this podcast, or maybe somebody's, who likes this podcast, whose favorite game in the world is riffs.
Shame on you.
And if I just sit here like, you know, and just cut loose,
my whole thing
no
is,
filter at all, I'm going to drive that person away.
My whole thing is, can you say, like, riffs, we'll use the riffs example. I don't like riffs, and then you just start cussing and cutting it down and just spewing all this stuff. No, that's not Fear the Boot. That's not what we do. Can you say something like, I don't like riffs, and then back it up? Yeah. Back it up with logic and a well-thought-out argument. Some people can, some people can't. So,
getting back to the host thing, kind of going back to that little point there, something else that we found out as we were doing this is that a podcast, I've had several people since I've done this ask me what it takes to do a podcast. The answer is a whole lot more time than you think.
Take the amount of time you think and then triple it.
And then triple it again. I mean, people say, look, okay, you're going to record an hour episode. So let's say, all right, maybe you have set up and tear down and outlining. So maybe 2 or 3 hours to record a show. And let's say even you're that efficient that you don't jack around, that you don't,
you don't go out to dinner for 2 hours.
That, or you don't even
we
have,
call it the Fear the Boot time sink.
Or you don't have the writer's block that every person does where you can't think of a topic. And let's say you really do get your 1 hour episode recorded in 2 to 3 hours. Well, guess what? You've still got editing and you have email to answer. And depending on how serious you are about your community, you may have a forum to monitor.
Editing, real quick note, take the length of your show, times it by two. And that's double, that's how long it takes me to edit all
the
shows.
You may have other podcasts to interact with. You may have promotional stuff to do. And suddenly what you thought was going to be 2 or 3 hours a week suddenly turns into 10 or 20 hours a week. And one of the things that I found as we were looking at these wannabe hosts was here were people where all they wanted to do was sit behind the mic. They wanted to sit behind the mic, get involved in the conversation, and collect that minor internet celebrity status.
Hey, I'm never cashing in my badge.
without spending all those hours and hours and hours off the show answering emails and reading forms and editing sound files and carrying all the heavy load that goes on behind the scenes of a podcast. I have said many times that if somebody paid me to do this full time, I could easily sink 40 hours of work into Fear the Boot every week without coming up with busy work for myself.
I can't count the amount of hours I spend just administrating the forum. Jeez. Yeah.
That's why we just had to switch from Saturdays to Mondays, too, is that we basically were giving up an entire weekend day to the show.
Yeah.
It was gone.
It was just gone. And then Saturday's the day when all of our friends and stuff want to party or want to do things or want to have events, or we want to spend time with each other as friends. And we were finding over and over again, we would get together on Saturday and we'd sit down to line out the show. And this is when we should be working on the show, and we wouldn't do it. We would sit around and we would talk and we would gossip and we would jack around and we would spend time being friends with each other because we had cut out one of the major days that we did spend time and be friends with each other.
It's tough. I've heard people say that the hardest thing to do, if you wanted to write a comic for, like, let's say comics are for your newspaper, that the hardest thing to do is not the drawing. It's not even necessarily getting it out there. It's being funny consistently, day after day.
And consistency is terrible.
The same thing's true of a podcast. Every week, you have to sit down, record an episode that, in our opinion, I realize some podcasts don't necessarily, they just put out whatever, but we try to put out at least some weak standard of quality every week.
And or at least standard of, you know, and hatred and negativity.
After every episode, as soon as the mics go off, usually one of the four of us will bust out to, I think that was a B-.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got to do this every week. And you know, you could have a single week where things go like clockwork.
Yeah.
But you cannot have every week of every month.
On Adam's grading scale that he just mentioned, we have 60-some-odd shows, if you include interviews and bonus and regular episodes. I can count the number of episodes on one hand that maybe are good enough, in our opinion, to make an A. I think that most of our shows average, in my opinion, Bs.
You know, and that's something interesting to note there. is that the kind of scrutiny that we level against everyone else's creative work on the show, we level against our own.
Absolutely.
That true. You would not yes. believe the amount of criticism we have for our own work. That we do not sit on these mics and be like, you know, we can't stand what so-and-so did, but our stuff's perfect. I mean,
we've trashed entire episodes because one of the five hosts said, that sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even just talking about Dan.
Yeah.
We've trashed episodes because I said, man, that was awful, and everybody else disagreed with me.
Yeah. It's like, I don't think you're right about that. And then we talk about it, and then you're just like, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Then we roll
nobody
up.
Nobody wants it again. To listen to it again. It's easier just to re-record.
Let me describe for you guys how a typical recording session goes for us. We roll in here around 4 o'clock. We spend probably a half hour arguing about where we're going to eat. Yes. Somebody's like,
hardest decision made all night.
Yep.
It's just absolutely. Like on your character sheet, the name is the hardest blank to fill in. It's the same thing here. Where we're going to eat tonight is the hardest decision made.
I don't
want to
go
podcast.
Here. Well, I went here. I had that for lunch.
I don't want to go like here. Well, 10 minutes later. Oh, I had that for lunch. I'm probably not even going to eat anyway. What?
Which is what happened today.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then we go out. And because we're all friends and stuff, we just can't hit a burger joint, slop down the food, and run back. No, we got to hang out, and we could be talking about the show. We always talk about how we're going to talk about the show at dinner. We're going to line it out. And we're gonna,
60 no, episodes, really, this haven't time seen we are. It happen yet.
Yep. I swear, we went to this barbecue place today, and there was the table behind us seated at least two couples.
Yes.
They sat down, ate, and left, sat down, ate, and left, and I swear that it got up to three. I still think that a third party sat down, and then we finally left. And we were just talking about everything, anything and everything, just friends. And then this is where the actual work on the show comes in. We come back to Dan's place, and we sit down, and Dan has attached the big board, the famous big board, to his wall. So we start, Dan's like, what are we going to talk about today? What have we got today? And we sit around and we talk about this and we talk about that, which has nothing to do with the show. And Dan's yeah. like, come on, what do we got? What do we got?
And then the lights on and off.
I write RPG on the board and start circling letters.
So, and we start defining the show. We start saying, okay, well, let's talk about this for banter. Well, banters, we run banter 20 to 25 minutes on the show. Are we going to have, is this enough to fill the time? Well, what can we talk about? Well, we have to talk about what we can talk about within the topic without actually talking about it.
Because then we empty the conversation.
Yeah. And then when we get on the mics, we don't have anything to talk about because we've already said it.
And we're not scripting. We're just kind of hammering out what topics we want to cover.
Generally, and we kind of get this feel for, can we get some traction out of this? And then the main topic runs from 25 minutes to 35 minutes. And so we line that out and we get going. Well, what happens is some point between when we start actually writing on the board to sing behind the mics, we're like, oh, we can't do this. Oh, we suck. Oh, we're completely out of ideas. Oh, this is too hard. Cause you know, we're all full of food and tired and whatnot. And
it's late. What are you guys doing Monday?
I come up with a good 12, 13 ideas and then invariably. Nope, we've done that already.
Yeah.
Nope, we've done that already.
If you'd listened to the show, you'd know
fans
that.
Fans of the show would know that.
Yeah. So we were like, oh, what are you guys doing? And then somebody, and it's different each time, somebody's like, nope, let's push through. We can do this. Let's push through. And then we stand up, and then we're like, okay. And then some idea hits. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this. But it's just like we hit that lowest point of, oh, let's record on a different day and we suck and let's wrap it up and never record another episode again. Some idea hits someone and they say, well, what about this? Boom. Everybody starts having ideas going back and forth and we line out the entire show. We have a whole show and like we're creative again and we're not canceling the show. We're not recording on a different day. That's the line out. Then we sit down behind the mics. Dan hits record. We go and you hear it from there. And what happens a lot of times, what used to happen a lot is we'd get 5 minutes in and Dan was like, that's not good enough. And then you can it. Then we get another 5 minutes in.
That used to happen a lot. That happened last week.
Then we can it. And then about the third time, Dan starts getting death looks. Like, if you hit that cancel button one more time, we will hurt you. And Dan's like, nope, that's not good enough. I'm a gun owner. And then he cans it again. And he starts. And then we stop and we start talking. It's like, okay, well, what isn't good? Well, there's no... A lot of sort of nebulous terms come out, a lot of esoterics. Well, there isn't a whole lot of flow. I'm just not feeling it. And this is not just Dan talking, this is everyone talking. You know, there's not a whole lot of energy. There's not a whole lot of pep. This topic just isn't interesting. We're not getting a lot of tread on the topic. We're not getting a lot of traction on the topic. All of this is just complete BS. And
the show needs more purple.
Yes, you could say that. There's not enough square in this show. And so we have to work that out of our system for some reason don't understand. But, you know, and I do it just as much as everybody else does. And then we start a show. And then that flow hits. It's like the rubber hitting the road.
Oh, come on.
And then we roll into it and we get a flow. And it's the esoteric term that is undefinable that I use all the time. The show has to have a flow to it. It has to roll. It has to move. It has to keep going. And an idea has to flow into another idea, has to flow into another idea. And all these ideas are tangents and stuff. And then Dan is an owner of two dogs. One of them has to start barking in the middle of the show.
Usually Watson.
Yeah. If there's no barking, it's not going to be a great show. I know that's just some magic, mystical thing.
Barking adds half a letter grade to every show.
Yeah. I don't understand it in any way. And then once we get a flow going, usually what happens is we're talking through an idea and then we run out of steam on an idea. And then there's like a little bit of silence and then somebody belches or makes a crude joke. We laugh. And then Dan rubs his chin and he looks at the big board and he's like, do we have anything else to say on this?
No. First off, when he rubs his chin, there's the horror from everybody else on the mic that he's thinking
I'm about to hit stop. And I look at the big board and if I see nothing, I stop. If I see Buddha coming forth from the big board, then we will continue.
Yes. So we compel Buddha to come forth into Dan, and we keep going. He's like, and then Dan, as he's the head of he's the moderator of this round table, usually, and you can hear him do this, he's like, well, riffs, and riffs art.
Go.
Go. And then it's like, rah, 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 rah. He lets us go on that, and we do a back and forth with him included, and then he'll tap it. He'll say, well, okay, if you think that art's bad, what about this art? And then that's, oh, blah, 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 and that takes the conversation in a different direction, usually something negative, vile, and offensive.
He just directs the flow of negative.
And typically when I say riffs, that can be equated. The sound of riffs coming out of my mouth is roughly the same as the sound of someone unbuckling their belt right before dropping their britches and having a diarrhea attack.
Pretty much. So we kind of go, and to my feeling, it's like the flow of the show is building up, building up, building up, and then Dan is like, well, that about wraps it up for this week, and blah, blah, blah. And then I always am left with the impression of, we should tone down the ending. We should, like, instead of taking this high energy and stopping, we should bring it down. But
no,
it doesn't work.
Yeah,
it
doesn't. You want to leave people at the high point.
Yeah,
I've always been told that you want to, if you can, it's either begin on your best and end on your second best, or begin on your second best and end on your best. I forget the order of that, but that it's the most important parts of the show are the beginning and the end.
Yep,
and it's hard. Because typically at the beginning of a show, that's when you're still trying to connect with the other people around the table.
Right.
And at the end of the show, sometimes you've reached the end of the show because you've run out of steam. You didn't know it was the end until you realized that no one had anything interesting to say anymore.
Yeah, and that's a bad end of the show. And I totally agree with you. But just in my mind, for some reason, every single ending of the show that we do where we end at a high point, I'm just like, is that it? But I don't say anything because I know that's right. And then I issue forth a see ya. And people have tried to usurp that right from me.
I played you in one episode.
Yeah, you did. You did a pretty good see ya. I liked it. And I have gone to past episodes and cut out a Sia and and basically cut pasted their Sia and pasted it in. And
you're
such
a girl.
I am.
So let me ask you a question, and this is directed at all of the hosts. All right, you've got a year of podcast under your belt. What's changed?
Quality.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the show and personally as well.
Well, I think...
I mean, other than the one day a week, one out of 7 days
would break
a week that you burned on this.
I would break this show down into three eras, if I had to describe the show.
Three epochs, if you will.
Three epochs, if you're the boot. The first is everything that occurred... maybe I'd break it down to four. The first epoch being...
It'll be a numbered list.
The early shows, just the first 5 or 10 episodes where we were still trying to figure things out. To me, I don't even consider those real episodes. It shames me that people still write me saying, hey, I just downloaded your first 10 episodes.
No!
I'm like, no. Is like someone telling you, hey, I just found your third grade yearbook.
And if you listen to other podcasts, they say the exact same thing. Some of them even rip out their first ones.
Someone asked me if we're going to take down those episodes. The answer is no, I will leave them up. But I'll tell you right now that I cringe when I find out that people are just now listening to those shows.
I started at the beginning. Ooh, yeah. About that.
Sorry.
After that, we had this long run of shows that led up to the design series, where I think it was during those shows that really Fear the Boot defined its character. The Boot defined who and what it was going to be. And
negative, vile, and spiteful.
And
elitist. Very elitist.
Our style, our humor, the kinds of topics we're going to cover. We talk about taking ourselves too seriously. I think that is what personified the design series. The design series, quite frankly, caused a nightmare both on and off the mics.
Yes.
It was a huge amount of work. We took ourselves way too seriously. We were far too emotionally involved in it.
That's when we had the mess up in the episodes
where we
had to stop.
Yeah. Several of the shows were late. And then there was one week where we had no show because it's just, we had gone like the Exxon Valdez straight into,
we always said that we would rather not release a show than release a bad show. And we actually had to play that card. And when we sat down, the aftermath of that point, I think we lined this out on the board. Either that or we just sat around and talked about it. It's like, what are we doing wrong?
Right.
And what came from that
we had a three-hour meeting that we recorded, and it was like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, this is painful. And Adam was the one who was the champion on that one, who was like, we are taking ourselves too seriously. Yeah.
And I really, that final epoch that I would consider of the show is where we are today, the post-design series, where we have gotten past the difficult time. And I think our challenge now is to regain as much as we can of the way the show was before the design series, while still accepting you can't and shouldn't go back. The show has to move forward. It has to evolve. It has to grow. But we still have to find the kind of energy and the kind of fun that we had doing the show pre-design series.
Dan, let me ask you a question. And, of course, everyone else, but specifically Dan, because I think that this is a question that a lot of our listeners would ask at this point. Do you think that the design series was a mistake to do? And if you could do it all again, would you not do a design series?
Good question.
That is a very good question.
And as I ask it as a host, that is a hard question.
I can knee-jerk and tell you two answers to both of those.
I don't know. I mean, what I would say is, you know, looking back on it, I think it needed to be done. I think the design series...
I think it was something that we had in our hearts that we had to get out.
Well, it was important material. Yeah. I mean, how to design a game, because how to play a game is ultimately saying you take this tool and how to use it around the table. But, of course, the question always comes, can you build the better mousetrap?
Yeah.
I mean, it's maybe part of the problem with the role-playing game, not the execution, but the system, or not the execution, but the setting. And so it was in our nature to want to do it. But I'll tell you, given the amount of trouble it caused us off mic and on mic, I don't know. It's like I can look at my life and say, let's forget Fear the Boot completely. I can look at my own personal life and say there are things I've done in my life that have been really stupid, really horrible, and have cost me dearly. And if I lived my life all over again, I don't know that I would do them. But I am the man I am today because I made those mistakes.
Right.
And I don't just say that in some broad philosophical term. I mean, literally, I can show you how those mistakes improved me as a person to be who I am today. And I think the same thing is true with Fear the Boot, that I don't know if I did it all over again, I'd repeat it because I don't like what it cost us. But at the same time, I think we still did something good with it. And I think we made an opportunity for ourselves, if we ever actually pull out of the burnout and finish it, right, to do something with Skies of Glass and to move into areas that are bigger than just a podcast.
Let's talk about two things there.
Oh, here we go.
One is a question, and I don't know how I'm going to phrase the second part, so we'll see if it's a question or not. First one is a question that has been asked of us several times on our forums. Are we going to finish Skies of Glass? And two, you mentioned burnout. Comment on the burnout.
Oh man,
yeah.
I think the second part of that question will directly affect the first part of that question. I mean, because I'm not going to speak for Dan, but burnout from the design series is terrible.
It's very hard.
And I want to speak to the first part of that question.
Well,
go ahead first.
Well, let me go ahead, Dan.
Burnout's a huge one, and I have been itching to talk about this one because I have so many thoughts, and there are so many conversations I've had with other podcasters from big gaming podcasts, you know, names you would know, about this subject. And I have tons of thoughts on burnout, and this is a subject I'm itching to talk about. But just to get everything else out of the way, because I think that's going to be huge, let me talk through Skies of Glass. When we did Fear the Boot, when we started it, I knew up front that this was never intended to be a money-making endeavor.
It's a money sink.
Yeah, it's a money sink. When you sit down to a podcast, you are going to spend more time and money than you ever intended to. So you better know up front why you are doing this. And part of it was just because of a love of the hobby. Part of it was because we felt there was room to talk about this.
Part of it was because you're very irresponsible with your credit cards.
Yeah, well, when we were at Archon we were doing a panel on podcasting, I had my setup up there, and someone's like, "Do I need to buy all that to podcast?" I'm like, no. What you see up here is the intersection of bad judgment and a Visa gold card. This is not what it takes. You're going to spend more on this than you ever intended to in terms of time, money, and emotion, so you better know why you're doing it. And for us, it was partially interest in the hobby, partially room in the hobby, because you can't get a video game podcast out there. There's just too many of them.
Yeah,
good luck.
But it was also because I figured this would be a way to help me do other things. That I have always, my dream job is still to do something purely creative, like writing or speaking or I don't know what. And I figured that this was a way that I could get my name known and my foot out there. And I was never going to make any money off of it. So it was always that this was going to be something that was going to allow me, because of name recognition or whatever, to do something else. And Skies of Glass was our first attempt to do that, to take this and turn it into something more than just a podcast. And to do the things that most other podcasts accomplish through like their...
It's going to be a great episode.
Yeah, through their commercials and promos. And we got to leave that one in there just for a sec. Anyway, will we complete SOG? I think absolutely yes. Burnout's played heavily in the delay of Skies of Glass. But the fact is that is a game that we have been developing in one form or another, I mean, since the mid-90s. So, I mean, over a decade now. And I don't see us abandoning it. I think we absolutely will finish it. It's just going to come along slower than we thought it would, because if we were to force ourselves to finish it, it'd be like forcing yourself to run an additional mile when you're already out of breath. Yeah, you'll get there and then you'll collapse. You're done.
I think that if we forced ourselves to finish it now, Fear the Boot would end.
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
There would be no podcast.
I mean, hooray, we did it. Screw this.
Yeah, I never want to look at this ever again or anything associated with it. And also, a lot of the team that is working on this, when we were working on it individually, something either negative or positive happened in our lives at the exact time when we were in the middle of working on this and when we had it flowing and good. And it could have been a good thing or it could have been a bad thing. And like the example, I can give my example because it's a positive thing and it's my own, is that I had a kid. And that took me out of the loop for 3 weeks, and then it took me out of it for longer because I couldn't interface back in as quickly as I want to.
But there were also negative things on the other teammates. Every single person working on the project, something huge came up. Mm-hmm. And that really railroaded the Skies of Glass project in a bad way.
Yeah, keeping up Fear the Boot even has been quite a challenge, and several of us have had to miss episodes.
Exactly.
As somebody mentioned, we've been working on Skies of Glass since the early 90s, and it's gone through several incarnations, and we've never really... We've had playable versions of Skies of Glass. I would say Dan's probably... We came up with one... I mean, this is really Dan's project. Dan came up with... Dan likes to write role-playing games. Dan's written 4, 5, 6 role-playing games, some of which we play. Skies of Glass was originally made by Dan early in the 90s. We played it. Dan revised it. We played it. This is a work in progress, but I can't say at any point in time this has been a finished work. It's always been playable, but not quite solid. And now that we're putting this to a group effort and we're having people collaborate on it, we have artists involved, we have different ideas and different writers, and everybody's contributing different pieces to this puzzle. Will it get finished? I don't know. Dan and I are birds of a feather in a lot of ways, and one of the ways in which we're birds of a feather is that we're very good at starting projects. We're not very good at finishing them. Hopefully, our other podcast hosts and our other SOG collaborators will be on top of us well enough that we actually finish this one. But it'll be interesting to see, because this is pretty normal for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is normal for people in general. I mean, the number of writers out there that have written the first 3 chapters of a book and the number of artists out there that have drawn the starting lines and maybe done a little bit of inking on a great masterpiece. I have
5 books, but none of them are done.
Exactly. So I don't know. I have to think this will get finished. It's just, we have to pace ourselves, because when you have to sit down and do this every week, there's an emotional dimension to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't wait on inspiration, but you do at the same time have to measure and manage your burnout.
Yeah. That's any creative effort, I think. That, you know, like, I read Stephen King's On Writing, which is just a great book for any creative thing that you want to do. It basically is an instruction book on how to be creative. And one of the things he says when he writes, because he always talks from his experience, is that he writes every single day at a set time. And he doesn't just keep writing and writing and writing if the ideas are coming. He stops. And he, at a set time, he stops and he walks away from it. And you have to. Otherwise, you'll just burn it out. And one of the things that really contributed to the burnout on SOG is that we referred to the show as a whip. The show kept whipping us. We had to keep pace with the show. We release weekly. I don't think that you can write. I don't think professionals like at TSR, WotC, whatever, could produce a role-playing game on the schedule that we had to produce one at.
No, I don't think they could. I mean, if you look at how quickly it was coming together. And, I mean, granted, we stopped, we pulled off, but for a while there, how quickly it was coming together, and especially even things that never got put out as resource documents, the amount of planning that went on behind the scenes, the stacks of handwritten pages and such we have. I mean, I don't doubt that if we were working for one of the, what Ryan Dancy calls the Big Six, that our managers would have been shocked by the speed at which we were moving, doing this as a full-time job.
And then they would have been shocked at the resignation letters we gave them.
All right, well, let's get this in. Burnout, this is a big one. When we first started Fear the Boot, when we started this show up, I got emails from multiple hosts of other shows. I'm going to start naming a couple names of the ones I remember better. I believe Mick from over at the Harping Monkey was one of them, who wrote me and basically said, you know, I listen to your show and I love the energy I'm hearing. And I hope you guys never hit the point that a lot of us are at that have been doing this longer, which is we are running out of energy. We're running out of topics and all this stuff. And
basically they said that they were running out of things to talk about.
Yeah. And it's a definitely a major struggle, because first of all, on an emotional level, when you have to do this week after week after week, you start to burn yourself out. And if you take a break, if you go on a hiatus, you might be able to pick up where you left off, but you are going to lose fans and you're going to lose things during that time you may never get back. The second thing is, from a purely pragmatic standpoint, you have to have things to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this industry and this market doesn't change all that much.
No, it doesn't. And you just can't have... It's not like following a TV show where we have new episodes every week to talk about. Yeah, new stuff's coming out, but
We don't talk about new stuff.
Yeah, we don't talk about products to begin with. But secondly, even if we did, they aren't coming out that fast. The second thing about that is you have to have things that are interesting enough to you that you can speak about them with passion and are interesting enough to your listeners that they'll care to actually fill these shows. And we definitely hit a point there near the latter part of the design series where it's like, are we running out of things to say? I mean, have mm-hmm. we, and like Mike said, that we went through this phase where he would be like, well, we should talk about this. It's like, we already did. Oh, what about this? Well, we already did. Oh, no, this would be great, man. We could talk for hours. Well, we already did talk for hours about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why we've made the choice to, with the banter in particular, to diversify outside of role-playing games. Because if we forced ourselves to stick to role-playing only for an hour show, you know, not only would that just force the emotional burnout, but I'm not sure we'd have anything to say.
So a little while ago, Adam asked us the question of how have we changed over the course of the show. We've talked a little bit about how the show has changed over the past year. What about us as hosts?
I mean, obvious, other than the obvious 1/7 time sink a week.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously, yeah. Other than the I had a day kid. That's gone. You had a kid.
Yeah.
Well, how has the show changed you, though? Because that's external to the show.
The show impregnated me.
Impregnated you. You had to
fear the boot, literally.
Well, one thing I think we should talk about is our relationships have changed. When John went off to Rome, one of the comments he made when he got back is, you guys are no longer friends. Your relationship is strictly based on this podcast. Every time you get together, it is no longer a social thing. It is a fear the boot thing. You have excluded all of your friends except for the hosts.
Well,
I don't think that's entirely true.
I haven't excluded all my friends.
I think that's a bit of a caricaturing of a characterization.
Well, I think it was more of an extreme example.
But I think he speaks toward a truth, even if I don't think he.
Well, I'm not exactly quoting him either. Yeah. So
I hang out with Dan a lot less often outside of Fear the Boot than I used. I mean, Dan and I used to get together once a week pretty regularly.
Yeah, I used to hang out with Phil 3 days a week.
Some of that for me though has been pure coincidence because. Like, the other circle of friends I hang out with, that other gaming group I'm always talking about, I was seeing less of before Fear the Boot started. And I don't know necessarily that Fear the Boot caused that. I will say it definitely made us take these relationships a bit too seriously. I'll say, you know what? It also forces you to work out a lot of your crap. Because if you're on the outs with somebody, you're like, you know, I'm sick of so-and-so because they said something pissed me off and I don't think I want to see him this week. You suddenly have to stop and think, how does that impact the show?
Right? Not that that's happened in the tenure of this show at all.
There are several times it has happened.
I know.
Either in major examples, huge drama, or little examples, but you suddenly have to stop and think because the fallout between us as friends is no longer purely personal.
And
it has an impact on the show.
To be completely transparent, technically, that's why Mike is here.
Yeah, I was wondering if we were going to go there, but that's true.
Why not? There was a major fallout between Adam and Dan, and I would say that most of it was hidden. It started on the forums, but we kept it pretty quiet. But yeah,
no, we didn't.
Well, you guys tried to do damage control. We tried to do damage control and rein it in.
I missed that part. I got into the whole situation later.
The point is, obviously, it got worked out for reasons that have nothing to do with the show. But definitely when it went down, there was a thought of how does that impact the show?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I can think of even minor examples where it's not something big like that, where it's just more like, just, you know, you just don't feel like being around people. And I'm an introvert. Despite how much I talk in the show, I'm a very introverted person. And I have tons of moments like that where I just don't want to be around anybody. I'm not mad at anyone. I just want to be by myself.
You gotta have your space.
But it's like, you know, you gotta get together and record the show.
Gotta get over it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and let's go back to what you said a minute ago, just for a little bit more sake of explanation. When there was the drama, the question was, we have a spot open on the show.
Yeah. Because it wasn't like, oh, are they going to work things out? No, I mean, at that point, friendship broke, everybody's pissed off, and
they're not speaking.
And they're not speaking.
Right.
A spot opened up.
To put context on this, this all happened over the course of 3 days.
This was very fast.
It was very hard and fast.
So the question is, there's now a spot on the show. Previously, I had been asked, and I declined. So Dan asked me again, you know, hey, Dan and I got to talking. I kind of explained why I turned it down the first time because we had...
Because you're an elitist pig.
That is exactly what it
well,
is.
Well, that is the kind of person we look for.
Yeah, we're like, hired!
Well, Dan and I had some miscommunications about why I turned it down the first time. Mm. So we started chatting about it again, and it's like, well, this wasn't just an idea that, you know, we had a great idea, but it never took off because Dan and I like to start things but not finish them. It's not like, you know, for whatever reason, I thought nobody's going to care. Apparently people do because there's a lot of listeners. It's like, dude.
It's also because we were recording on Shavuos, so you couldn't be here.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So I decided, okay, sure, I'll give it a shot. So I came on. Now, and I'll be honest, since we're here having our Oprah moments here, and we're all going to be crying in a few minutes. I was very nervous when I came on because
you still are.
Adam came well, but Adam came back, mm-hmm. and I was very worried because it's like, is Adam going to be resentful of me?
Mike's a scab, and there was
Mike's a scab.
There was a point too where Dan and I were talking, driving around, talking on the phone. I forget what it was, where they made up.
Yeah,
they settled their differences, and they're like, oh my God, what were we fighting about? This was so stupid. And then they made up and it was fine. And
Adam, makeup sex was good for anyone interested.
Adam dressed up like a wolf and I dressed up like a squirrel. And
Adam was happy.
There you go.
But then there's the question of we have a sixth host.
And then Adam didn't want to come back. Adam was like, you know, it was my fault that I left. I said I was going to be off the show. And so I'm going to stay out of it. And then, you know, you've got Mike in and it's fine. And everybody was like, no, you need to come back. You need to be on the show. So he came back.
I can't wait for the VH1 Behind the Podcast. Don't
Well, this is getting into a little bit of that.
He came back, and then Mike was still on the show, and Dan and I had a conversation where it's just like, I was basically like, kick Mike off the show. Tell him no. Yeah, and and you and I had the same conversation.
Sure,
and you asked me straight up. It's like, Chad, what is your opinion? Do you think I don't know how you word it, but it's something like, do you think I should be on this show? What is your opinion of my being on the show? And I said, I have absolutely no problem with you whatsoever. I love you. You're my friend. I do not want you on the show. And the reason I don't want you on the show is because it's too many hosts. I believe that four hosts is too many. I believe three hosts is just right. I believe five hosts is ridiculous. And if we get a sixth host, I am out of here. But
and do you feel that way now?
No, I think it works. I think
so I'm ever getting sick of Chad being on the show. I know how to handle that.
Phil, pretty can much. You start showing up?
The no drama way to get Chad off the show.
So, no, I think that Dan's argument was that we have very busy people,
yeah,
and there are going to be shows where only two people can show up.
Yeah.
There's going to be shows where only three people
can
show
up. And we've had scheduling problems like that where, and even right now, John's not here.
Right.
And
Last time Mike wasn't here.
Well, and honestly, John's missed two shows today anyway.
And then there's times when everybody will be here and it'll be a full house.
Right.
And my fear was like, it would just be too chaotic. It's too much. It's too many cooks stirring the pot, and I didn't like that idea.
Yeah, but Mike doesn't talk enough.
he doesn't talk enough. He's really nervous too. But it worked out. I was wrong, and it worked out, and I'm glad it worked.
Can someone give me a soundbite of that?
That I was wrong.
No, that I was wrong.
I might play that to put me to sleep.
Other ways it's changed me personally. And just to give a quick epilogue to that, we talked about how our relationships became too businesslike. That's one of the reasons we moved this to Mondays.
Yeah.
Is we are
it's
now
the main reason we moved it to Monday.
We suddenly have social days again on Saturday.
I love social days.
The another way that this has changed me though is you really have to rethink how you deal with feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Yes. I mean, there are threads in the forum that I'd love to post responses to.
Yeah.
But don't.
Because you suddenly, you're putting yourself out there. And we've been very fortunate that the listeners we have are really cool. The forum users we have are really cool. And most of what we hear is very positive and very supportive, which is great because we're not paid to do this. It's that kind of support that keeps us energized and keeps us moving. There is no paycheck. But still within that, I mean, you get people who kind of say, you know, maybe they didn't, you know, they disagree with you on something. They didn't like something you did. And sometimes it's fair.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they'll say something. I'm like, you know, you're right. We screwed up. Other times it's opinional. But then there's this third category of times where it's like, you just look at the person and you don't get it. You didn't hear a word we said. I mean, that's not even but what you were talking about, but you can't go off.
Yeah, you can't just get on the forums or write them an email where it's just like, dude, you are smoking crack. And then just this
you want to.
Tourette's-like cussing that just, which is just a normal human emotion to being told, well, hey, you're wrong.
You know, but I don't I'm guilty like of this a lot, too. Sometimes you miss, like, I'm a semi-ADHD sort of person where I'll be listening to a conversation or maybe a podcast and miss miss 5 minutes of it.
Well, of course, people are doing it at work. I mean, right. This past week I was listening to some episodes of DLI was at work. And, yeah, it's your attention comes and goes because things are going on around you. And
right.
I'm sure you probably miss part of it, and particularly when someone is sitting there working on who knows what. And then they just hear that one incendiary comment cut through the haze.
Exactly.
And it's like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, actually, so far, Mike has you beat.
Really?
Yes.
With incendiary comments cutting through the haze and people complaining about it?
No, we have gotten more feather ruffling off of his anti-serenity comment.
Yeah. People didn't fly too well.
All right, just be quiet over there.
Exactly.
Even within the hosts is ruffled feathers. You know,
kind of along the same lines, you also have to you have to develop a fairly thick skin because they talk about how it takes like 10 or 20 compliments to offset one criticism. And depending on the person you are, it can take a whole lot more than that. And I'll tell you, man, there are days I sit there and I'll go through the forums and go through the email box. I mean, I've got just all, hey, I love what you do. Hey, I love what you do. Hey, I love what you do. And then one guy is just like, going off.
I can't believe you said that about my favorite pet game. This is a horrible podcast.
And it's like, at that point, man, I tell you, you definitely have the most. Like, you know, I'm not getting paid to do this. I should just freaking throw in the hat. I mean, screw it.
Or at the very least, fire off an angry letter at this dude and tell him what he can do with himself. But
take a picture of your butt and email it to him.
I have a picture of my butt.
I know.
I know. It's hanging up on your bulletin board at home.
You know, the funny thing is I didn't hang it up there. But
and we're not joking. There really is a picture of Chad's butt hanging up on his bulletin board at home.
It's so gross. It's like the first thing you see when you walk in.
And I don't mean like his jeans. I mean his butt.
Yeah, I'm moving the camera.
This is like an expose on Fear the Big Host.
So hairy.
What about you guys? I mean, how has this affected you personally doing the show?
I have met a lot of people through this show that I would have never have met before, and I have made a lot of friendships. Just incredibly cool, awesome people that if this show ended tomorrow, we're still friends. I mean, I just would never have met these people.
Oh, yeah. In addition to the people we've met, the opportunities we've had. I mean, I, until late last year, had never worn a press pass before.
Press pass is good. Sometimes it's a little creepy. Walked into a job interview. The guy starts citing things about me I've said on the podcast, and it's like, whoa.
On a job interview?
Yeah, on a job interview.
I haven't heard that story. Wow.
I told it on a podcast.
there we go.
It is trippy because you know what? I mean, who the hell are we? I mean, we're nobody. We're just a bunch of random guys out of St. Louis.
I walk into Hollywood Video. I hand the woman my license, and she's like, you're Adam from Fear the Boot. And I'm like, that's creepy. She's like, here's the video. It's free. You're awesome.
Oh, free stuff. Man, yeah, I mean, why don't I get any of that? I'm not around long enough, I guess.
You do the podcast. I'm not a movie star. I have no strange delusions or whatever. It is weird to think you have fans.
Yeah, it's weird to think.
It is fans. Really weird. I mean,
fans are something that famous people have.
Yeah.
We're not famous. We're programmers and IT people and psychologists.
Fans are for rock bands and movie stars, not for Fear the Boot. And it's, but nonetheless, you have them. I mean, you know, and it's like Adam said, you run into somebody in public who knows who you are. And it's like, that really is trippy.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, people will hold you accountable to the things that you say. I mean, we can't just get on here and say random things. We'd be like, you know, that's not exactly true. Oh, really?
There's been a couple of instances where, like, one of the hosts, me or Dan or anybody, says something, and as I'm editing it, they make a statement, and I'm like,
is that true?
And then I'll look it up, and I'm like, that isn't true. And then I'll cut it out.
The last episode.
Oh, geez, what I said.
No, it was actually Dan. Dan was mentioning Zorro and the Western themes.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't actually cut this out because it was too long and what you said was good. But nobody caught it, which is interesting. You were talking about Zorro and about, do you see South of the Border as being part of a Western theme?
Oh, it's actually what, in Texas?
Zorro takes place in California.
Oh, does it? California?
Yes. Oh. And nobody caught that. But that's an example of some things that I've cut out, even though I didn't cut out that one.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Now everybody go listen to it so Dan can feel really self-conscious.
Yeah, yeah. Post about it.
Send him many mails.
California, jerk. Don't you read?
Spell it with a K. California.
Spell with a K and rhymes with oofty goofty.
Well, I was of course, I haven't been around as long as the other guys, but for sure, one of the big things everybody told me when I came on is that I tend to be more quiet, more laid back kind of guy. Whereas
we all did.
Well, yeah.
I don't like to talk.
Yeah. Adam has talked. As each show goes on, Adam has talked more and more and more, and it's really neat.
So interrupting, you know, pushing things in.
Yeah.
I struggle with that, and I still struggle with that, but mm-hmm. I've gotten better. But also,
so you're saying that how Fear the Boot has changed you is that we have made you more rude, more of a jerk.
Mission accomplished.
My now work is done here.
Actually, kind of. Truth be told, I have gotten more criticism lately for being a jerk than I've ever gotten in my life.
So,
yeah, probably.
Yeah, but that's from the hosts here.
No, not from the hosts here.
Fear the Boot is like this great big asshole factory.
Well, it's funny because I was actually
stamp it on people.
I was telling my girlfriend, it's like people used to say, "God, you're a nice guy." Blah blah blah. I haven't heard that in a while.
Good.
So I was like, maybe they're on.
Certainly not from a Serenity fan.
Well, that's true.
All right, listen. Let's put that on the Serenity movie sucked. The Firefly show.
Okay, here it goes.
All right.
I'm coming around. I wear a brown shirt.
Oh, get out,
Adam. How has Fear the Boot changed you as a person?
Didn't I list off a whole bunch of things already?
You might have, but I don't remember. So.
Give us more. We want more. You're too quiet.
What? Get out of here. I can't think of any more than the ones I've already listed, if I've already listed any at all. I might have just agreed with what was already said. Not.
I don't know what you said, because every time you talk, I look your way, I see your shirt and black out. And then
My shirt is so yellow.
It is so yellow.
It is very yellow.
Well, my wife hates the podcast.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Why? Because I spend one-seventh of my week here.
She's jealous. She's a Fear the Boot Widow.
Yes. She is a Fear the Boot Widow.
Oh, my God. New shirt for the store.
Fear the Boot Widow.
I'm a Fear the Boot Widow.
We got an email, speaking of which, from a guy who told us, I'm a soldier. I just got back from Iraq, and my wife wanted to have sex, but I told her no because I was behind on Fear the Boot episode.
I'm thinking that's a lie. I don't believe it.
I don't care if it's
a lie. I don't care. It's true now.
I tattooed that on my ass.
And so that I didn't become a Fear the Boot Widow, I started bringing my girlfriend to shows. She's upstairs right now.
Carl is actually very supportive of this. I don't have that problem. She's extremely supportive of this.
No, Melina's supportive. I mean, she got us a big discount on our Archon badges. And then...
Yeah, she's a Fear the Booty. She really supported us at Archon stuff.
Then yeah, her and Becky did a whole bunch for the marketing there. And then she's on the forums like all day.
I have a brand new 2-month-old baby and my wife tells me, go to Fear the Boot.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wondered about that. I wondered if she's like totally cool
with it. No, she's totally cool with it.
It's because she hasn't gone back to work yet.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a different story.
When maternity leave ends, we'll see.
We'll see how that goes.
So my boss has found out now, because my girlfriend has a big mouth, and my boss has found out now that I'm doing a Fear the Boot podcast, so I'm taking a lot of flack at work. They're like, you are such a dork.
Excellent.
But they have for real. Well, I work, bear in mind where I work, but...
Where do you work? What do you do?
Tell us. What's the address?
What's your social security number?
No,
I don't want people showing up at work. I'm a counselor. We'll leave it at that. I'm a mental health counselor. But we have a board where we have to...
How can you take flack from anybody there? Because people are like, dork, podcast. And then you're like, you're crazy.
I'm the same
one. Co-workers. clients, I wouldn't tell.
We all know psychologists are crazy.
Just punch them in the face.
Well, the majority of the time they are. There's a psychiatrist I work with who says people who go into psych do so for a reason.
Yeah. Better understand their own problems.
Often, yeah.
Well, not always, but often. A psychiatrist who had Haldol twitches, but
Well, yeah, when I worked at the hospital. Yeah, that's true.
We have a bonus episode, Mike Sykes stories.
Oh, man,
I wish we could, but he can't. He loses his job.
You're under ND or doctor confidentiality.
Yeah, he's under all that crap. I wish we could, because, man, has he got some stories.
Not that he's ever told them.
I bet he's got some stories.
Parties, it's okay. You know, if I don't give any identifying information and I speak in vaguenesses, it's okay. So in the past, there have been some good party stories from my hospital days, but nothing I could share on the air, certainly.
So now we've done past and present. What's the future of
the future? I think Fear the Boot future is going to see a couple things.
They're going to see the end of Fear the Boot at episode 50
and dogs barking wildly.
The future, I think, is going to give us a couple things. The first of which is, we've talked about, we're probably going to diversify as we have been doing the banter topics.
You mean computer games every week?
Well, yeah, that's not diversifying.
Dude, we're taking this to a WoWcast.
Oh, gross.
Second thing is, I think the challenge we have is to find that second win, to find another round of that energy and that humor and such that we had.
One of the things that'll help a lot is if we have actually started our social life back up. And, yeah, like, if we start gaming again, we haven't been gaming because we've been podcasting, as ironic as that is. So we're getting less material for podcasting because we're podcasting.
And it's amazing we're podcasters who don't, gaming podcasters who don't game. Yeah.
How we've become, because of the podcast. But that's what I'm saying. We're getting away from that. And some of us I'm trying to get involved in gaming again and stuff. And
I really want to run a game. The mood has hit me again. I really want to run a game. I want to run a horror Western.
Yep.
I want to play.
You in?
I'm in.
It depends on the day, but
that can be worked out.
The other thing that I see with the show is, I think we may do a little bit of image review. For example,
I'm not cutting my hair.
We're going to release a Fear the Boot XXX website.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, things like, for example, we may look at the logo.
Yeah.
The logo was drawn about a year ago. It's not really sized right for the 300x300 square that's required. I don't have a problem with it. It'll stay. I mean, that will still probably remain the show's logo. But for our 300x300 pictures on iTunes and such, we may look at doing something else. We may change out. Now that I know more about recording equipment than I did before, I will probably change the show's wrappers, get different intro music, and maybe kind of rebalance the sound levels and such.
I think after a year, it's a good idea to change the music.
Yeah.
There are people who hate this music. There are people who don't care.
And I'm sure there are people who hate the music the next time around. And that's, you know, but it's just got to keep changing things up a little bit. I mean.
But then again, maybe these are icons of Fear the Boot and they shouldn't change.
I think the day something in Fear the Boot becomes an icon of Fear the Boot is the day we need to knock it down.
Yeah. Like complaining about RPGs. Man, that's got to go.
Maybe I'll start liking Shadowrun.
Fear the Boot, year two. Nothing's bad.
Number of listeners? One.
Hey, we just did the My Little Pony gaming series. Why is no one listening?
Exactly.
Roll for rainbow. Score! Critical!
Oh, God, this is disturbing.
Ew.
I'm taking the feet of the most beautiful hair in the kingdom.
Just talking about being positive is sickening.
Does anyone have anything else on the past, present, or future of the podcast?
Definitely not going towards positive.
Well, I do want to say, as cheesy as it may be...
Oh, here it comes.
Are you going to cry? Are you going to say you love me?
I'm going to cry. One of the reasons, though, that I did reconsider joining Fear the Boot is because, like I said, I was wrong. And the fact of the matter is, there is a strong community that's been created around Fear the Boot. And for that, I do want to give a shout out to the listeners, because that's pretty freaking cool that for some reason or other, they find this interesting and actually listen to our endless babble.
That is cheesy.
And it is cheesy, but
I love the listeners.
It is cheesy, and we do love our listeners.
You know, there are cool gamers all around the globe, and there are many of these cool gamers I would have never met, never known, had it not been for this podcast. The amount of people that listen, that write us, that just even show the silent support for this show has
been... Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Has been absolutely staggering. So,
you know what we should do? We should thank people Emmy style, like Hugh Laurie did. He wrote down names of all the people he wanted to thank and put them into his pocket, And then he randomly picked out three.
Hugh Laurie rocks.
Yes, he does. Awesome.
I do want to thank our listeners, all of them, for showing me that I am not the only one in the entire world who believes in plot and character development.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, you can actually have a game
gamers without... I'm so glad they're not.
Yeah, I'd like it's to R-O-L-E playing.
For material.
Not R-O-L-L playing.
Yes.
Yeah. And I thought, we all thought
we were
the only ones.
Because every experience we had had at cons, at gaming shops, all we had
run
into...
Trying to branch out into other friends and get in their gaming
groups.
All
we'd ever run into is Power Gamers. I was really shocked to learn that there is such a strong community that is so thirsty for characters and stories and depth.
And Bud Light.
And Bud Light, yes. What would gaming be without alcohol?
All right, continue.
I think that's it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Are we finished?
I think we are.
You know, I feel like there's been a great weight lifted off my chest.
I also, in closing, would like to thank the guys that made the G.I. Joe PSAs.
They've contributed a lot to these episodes.
I would like to thank Bill Cosby for providing us the picture for our threadlocking.
The guys that made the Juggernaut cartoon.
Perfect.
I would like to thank DLI for ironing my shirts every morning.
Answering our mail.
Coming all the way up from Springfield, Missouri, I think.
The guy who made the Lord of the Rings spoof?
Yes, retarded Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Tony
yes.
for letting us pick on him so much.
Tony, the pimp of the internet.
That's right. Yeah. Geek Label for the hoodies.
Oh, those hoodies are awesome.
Geek Label's awesome for us. They've been very good to us.
Chris, for the crappy D&D play-by-DVD game we still haven't done yet, need to do a bonus episode on.
Love you, Chris.
Scourge of Worlds.
Oh, that is stinky.
You think I'm making this up?
I see it written there.
This is a bonus episode in a tiny little box. It's waiting to come out.
No.
Like, actually, there have been a couple of
listeners.
This
is a turtle head of a bonus episode.
There have been a couple of listeners, too, that have sent in some gaming stuff to me to review, and thank you for that. Keep that coming in. Seeing these little, I don't even know, indie games, I guess they're called, I don't even know.
Yeah, they're
these,
called indie games.
Okay, see, my vocabulary on this stuff
and
is...
And that thing that we passed earlier today was a house.
Next to a field.
Well, anyway, some listeners have sent me some stuff on their indie games or whatever, and thank you for that. And keep sending it to Mike at Fear the Boot, because I am trying to update us, and also looking at these sort of indie games and stuff is something we've never, well, at least most of us, as far as I know, have never really even been exposed to outside of our own games that we've created.
I've played
a couple. Thanks.
I haven't played many, but
I've
played
thanks
a
for all you people who emailed me to make me feel important about myself, asking me what ninja movie I prefer. Perfect.
And keep the furry porn going to Adam.
All the furry porn, too.
Yeah.
He said he has quite a collection, so apparently you guys have seriously sent him all.
I'm going to make a mock site, adamsfurryporn.com, and then somebody's going to send me furry porn. I'm just going to link to it, and then their eyes are going to bleed.
Adam's Furry Porium.
Furporium.
Furporium. All right, well, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot. This show is copyright 2007, fully owned by its host. The games, movies, and other properties mentioned in the show are the property of their respective owners. Listeners are free to use the show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to FearTheBoot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at FearTheBoot.com.